This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Thank you, Jan.
We're progressing here. You know, Jan Harzan has become such a good purveyor of the Paracast stinger. You know, he's up there with such people as Nick Redfern. That's an elite category all by itself right there.
And, Gene, Let me take a moment for our audience. Jan, thank you so much for coming on last minute. Like Gene just said, you've been a kind of a – we've really been able to rely on you. Appreciate the late notice. Everybody listening, Jan did us a real solid here today anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Mark and Gene. Always enjoy talking to you guys.
You see, Jan is a mensch. Now, he knows I'm not 100% in agreement with everything he does or some things that MUFON might do, but he's a mensch. And it's hard to find people like that in this crazy, crazy world where people have no idea beyond screaming at each other in order to resolve disagreements.
Well, we just have to remember we're all on the same team. We all want this to happen.
Especially now. I mean, the big takeaway for me, you guys, from this program, originally in my show notes was here, okay, are we collectively behind ATIP and Luis Elizondo? Or are we a part of that faction that is going to push back against them because they're looked at as spooks, disinformation, et cetera? And, Jan, I got to be honest with you, the perspective that you gave the audience, you know, as we go through the show this evening, about Lewis has gone a long way for me. I have not had anybody personally vouch for him or come across anybody credible that could vouch for him. But hearing you say the things that you've said about him as a person, you know, I'm finding myself being a little persuaded here during the course of this conversation.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about he and Chris and Steve and Tom. I mean, they're all just great people. I mean, Chris, you know, as Deputy Secretary of Defense under Clinton and Bush, he worked behind the scenes tirelessly for this country, and he's putting his reputation on the line with this whole thing. And then Lou, just a true soldier in every sense of the word, and he is determined to not let these guys get him down and keep going. So. We've got two great people there working for us, I got to tell you.
Jan, let me ask, just because there is a little bit of conflict, or residual conflict in these the rollout of the Luis Elizondo ATIP program, et cetera. Let's just get past something real quick, if you don't mind. Luis Elizondo became affiliated with the To the Stars Academy only 3 days before his resignation, or at least according to the Wayback Machine, if you go on the Internet. It was only 3 days before his resignation that he started affiliating himself with To the Stars Academy. So it seems like Lewis had a very planned exit and that he was actually supported by some folks within the military. What's your take on that?
Well, actually, I think it's quite the opposite. He made a decision he was going to leave. And, of course, he needed to work all the angles behind on that and his resignation letter and everything else. I believe it was Chris Mellon who picked the phone and called him. And I hate to speak for them because this is really should be their story, but who made him aware of what Tom was trying to do and suggested he get in contact with him. So I don't think there was any orchestration behind it. I think it was more just, it just happened to fall into it. I mean, I have to tell you, when I retired from IBM, it was on July 31st, 2013, and I started with MUFON on August 1st, the very next day, 2013. But that was not anything I planned. It just happened that way. It's kind of very strange, but it just did, and it fell into place. So anyone looking at it would say, oh, obviously he planned to retire so he could take over MUFON. But no, it wasn't that way at all. So that's what I've been told. I mean, if it was orchestrated, I'm fine with that too. But I think it was just, you know, Tom had been working on trying to get something put together for well over a year or two. And I think people were kind of starting to shoot bullets at him because he kind of came out saying, I'm going to do this, but then they didn't say anything for quite some time. But then it all seemed to come together. Because I think once you state what you want to do, you know, every great thing starts with a thought. You know, they have to have the thought and the spoken speech that we're going to do this. And then people rally around it and make it happen. So, hey, I'm just glad they're there. So however it happened is fine with me.
You mentioned what Tom was up to, Tom DeLonge. I haven't spoken with him. I don't think Gene has either. I made an attempt to get a hold of his camp to have him come on the show, and obviously they're up to more important things. At least that's what I'm starting to believe. That being said, what is Tom up to? Have you spoken to him? What's his agenda, long-term, short-term, how we can help the guy out? I mean, what's going on with Tom and To the Stars, at least as far as you're concerned?
Well, you know, he's the CEO of the TTSA right. venture, and it's a multi-faceted venture. He's got the entertainment side, which now, of course, the Pentagon is trying to make fun and position him as the entertainment company. He's got the science side, which is Hal Puthoff, and he's got the technology side, which is Stephen Justice. But he's got a lot on his hands there. He's trying to create this organization, get funding for it. I know they're working diligently to fund the organization so they have money to do what they want to do. They're working tirelessly with congressional leaders behind closed doors to get things to happen. So yeah, they're very, very busy right now. Very, very busy. And of course, I can just tell you from having done Hangar One, that doing these TV shows, they just totally absorb every minute of your day. Let me put it this way. You are going 24/7 when you do a TV show, because they're throwing things at you fast and furious because they've got a tight production schedule. And, you know, you're trying to keep them from going down the wrong path and keep things on the right path. And so I can imagine he's extremely busy right now.
Are you expecting any announcements from To the Stars Academy in the next few months? Have you been privy to any information? I mean, do you have any sense of what the next rollout or how they may respond to the whole ATIP program and the transition of Elizondo into, for lack of a better word, the entertainment sector?
Yeah. No, I'm not privy to anything in particular, but I think as far as you say any announcements, I did ask the question specifically about will we be seeing any more, you know, videos and things like that. And they honestly said, well, look, you know, you guys can go FOIA the Pentagon just as easily as we can. And he says, so you've kind of seen what we're going to do. We're going down a different path. And I think they want to go get this congressional backing and funding. They want to kind of empower our government to, I think, take a lot of the stuff back and start managing it, which I think is a good thing. So I think that's where their efforts are going right now, that they're trying to, we've got five more episodes of, unidentified. They're going to be trying to peel apart different pieces and parts. We'll see how well that all comes together. I know they're going to test some crash saucer wreckage and things like that. And, I hope they can come up with something new. We've tried that several times, doing material analysis on supposed pieces of crash saucers, and we don't find anything extraordinary in it. But it goes back to, again, something we talked earlier on the show is what if the universe is ubiquitous? In other words, these elements are everywhere. And so if they built it someplace else just because they brought it here, or did they build a ship here? I mean, could they have built a ship here? These craft that seem to crash everywhere. I don't know. Those are good questions, but I think, you know, we're going to see five more shows. I think they're going to try to feed out this stuff in a logical, well thought out manner. And hopefully they'll get a second season out of it. I mean, television's fickle. If you don't bring in the ratings, you don't get the next dance. So that's what it seems to be all about.
I think the reason that UFOs crash is because, like we do here with our military contractors, we accept, just as ET does, the lowest bidder.
That's very possible. Said that.
Sure. But we're talking about here where a secret may be kept. And we're going to do a break in a few moments. Where a secret might be kept. And the original assumption, of course, way back when, was that the government holds the secret. There might be a secret agency. But look what we're doing with the space program. We're farming out a lot of this stuff to private industry like SpaceX, Jeff Bezos, all these other people. And imagine then what happens if the running of the so-called Silence Group, the organization that has any alleged secret of UFOs, is done privately, moved to private industry. That would probably make it almost impossible to figure out who it is. You know, we can possibly get information from the government, but once private industry has it, it's locked tight. We got more to come with Jan, Gene, and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So my question of Jan Harzan of MUFON in the last segment was about whether, if there is a secret, if they have secret guilty knowledge of UFOs, that's been sent off to private industry. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of this stuff has been privatized. I really do. I mean, that's not FOIable, right? So if you put it into a private corporation or even a non-governmental employee, a contractor, if you will, a contractor, you're not going to get any information if you FOIA it. So I think that's a good way to, you know, a tool they may use to keep some of the stuff out of the prying eyes of people. They don't want to see it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and so that brings up a couple of things here, Jan and Jane. So the first one I would bring up is Robert Bigelow. And I wrote a small blog about his database at deepspacepod.com, my site. But, I mean, look, nobody has more on the private side or non-government and military side than Robert Bigelow. And I wrote a little article about Robert Bigelow's disclosure. Because there was anybody that had some disclosure that would be valuable, I thought it might be him, considering his contracts, his involvement with ATIP, et cetera. So, you know, we're talking about private contractors. We're talking about going into space. Where is Robert Bigelow in all of this?
He's building inflatable habitats and making lots of money.
Well, you know, that's what the government, he would like us to think, right? I mean, what's the cheapest form of aerospace industry? Inflatable balloons. You know, I mean, I just don't buy it. There's something else going on there. So I guess when you guys are talking about, you know, how do we move forward? Is there a secret space program or farming this stuff out to these private corporations, et cetera? You know, I think privatizing this technology is more dangerous than having it in the public discourse.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother discussion in and of itself. But let me answer your first question. I mean, you know, Robert Bigelow, there's nobody who's, in my opinion, I don't see everybody's bank accounts, but there's nobody who's spent more money of his own personal money studying the UFO subject than Robert Bigelow.
That's why he knows more than the rest of us, of course.
Right. And he's employed many of these people that we've talked about on the show, including Jacques Vallée, to actually do research for him because he can afford to do it and he can afford to pay these guys. So, yeah, he's been trying to study this for years to find out what's going on. I do think he's making I wasn't being funny about it. I think this whole inflatable thing is – I think that's going to be the big business in the future because you think about it. When you travel to Mars or something like that, if it's going to take you 2 years to get there – hopefully it won't, but if it takes 2 years to get there or 6 months to get there, you're going to have some guy sit in a tiny little capsule for 6 months. It just wouldn't work. You need to have something bigger. So they can carry this up there, inflate it, and – drag it on behind the main capsule as a habitat for people to live in. And then, of course, at some point, you're going to have, I won't call them hotels in space, but you'll have, you know, platforms you can go up and maybe spend a day or two as a civilian and observe the Earth and float around and do your thing, whatever they'll call that. So I think it's a viable business for him. And hats off to him. He took his own private money to start all that and do it all. And it wasn't a foregone conclusion it would be successful. So he spent hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money to create that business. What he's doing currently in the UFO field, I really don't know. He went dark on us about 10 years ago, and it's kind of like he's doing his thing. That's all I can say. I know nothing more than that.
And the question is here, is there an ulterior motive there? Does he want to get technology that he could sell? Well, it doesn't seem like he has a commercial interest. Then again, maybe he's a silence group. After all,
well, I would say I don't know if any of that. I you know, I think the UFO field, you know, we love to feed on ourselves, you know, and I think people are stepping away and saying, I don't want to have anything to do with that UFO field. You know, I think that might be some of the positioning you're seeing with To the Stars is that they look at all the cantankerousness that goes on in the UFO field and they say, why do we want to go with those folks? You know, the real population we want to get to are the 7 billion other people on this planet. So let's focus our attention there. Let's educate them. Let's get them on board. Let's get those scientists working on this. That'll advance us much further than going with a bunch of conspiracy theorists who want to run around and eat each other. So, I mean, that's just my two cents. I don't know, but I would think that's probably one reason why you don't see much of Robert actively involved in the UFO field today.
But I'm just thinking about Bigelow. And the way that we are privatizing this, my concerns lie in the fact that we're privatizing a lot of this frontline interaction with this so-called phenomena. Companies have agendas, et cetera. It seems like if there was one issue that we would want to hold tight to the chest, so to speak, as a civilization, would be our contact or interactions with another, you know, with other entities out there in space. So, you know, hopefully the... man, if I could call it enough, from a nuts and bolts approach, hopefully first contact will not occur with corporations. I guess that's my point.
Well, and that's really up to all of us, though, isn't it? As citizens, yeah. I mean, that's why I said, you know, we don't have a CE5 program in MUFON, but I mean, it's getting out there and trying to interact with these intelligences in a reasonable way. Joseph Burks, Dr. Joseph Burks, who was one of the original CE5 guys, is a MUFON state section director up in Northern California. He'll be speaking at our symposium coming up in July at the Hotel Irvine here in Southern California. And he's going to be talking about human initiated contact experiences. So, you know, I think it's really up to us to reach out, just like it's up to us to go across the street and shake hands with our neighbor who's from another country that maybe is looked at as being an adversary of the United States, and create that relationship, you know, if it's possible. I don't know if it's possible to have a relationship with someone who's a million years more advanced than you or a thousand years, but we ought to be trying, at least.
I know it's also a fact that you don't want to talk to a cockroach. And maybe you'll want to have a conversation with your dog. But to an advanced race, maybe we're not more than that. A primitive animal. They've progressed far beyond us, so they have nothing to say to us. And maybe they're just having fun at our expense.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, we got how many billions of people on this planet? Somebody is going to have or be more in line with, I mean, look, it's just a skull thing. Somebody on this planet is going to be more in line and able to communicate with somebody if, in fact, there's other entities out there. The problem for me is if this thing is real, they're blinking in and out, et cetera. We got corporations in low orbit, you know, all this sort of stuff. My problem is I don't think that, well, let me take that back, you guys. If there's an advanced intelligence out there, they're going to see through all the BS of our government and our media and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully we're the cockroaches from that perspective because we have a lot of growing up to do. Now, that being said, I would hate for a corporation or a specific individuals to speak for us as the community of Earth, right? So I think that's kind of where I was saying earlier, Jan, is, man, the citizenship, look, if we're taking this at face value, we're just going way out on the limb and you're already there. Frankly, I feel myself crawling over into that space. Also, okay, this thing's real. Let's speculate. How do we introduce ourselves as a civilization? Or maybe they've been observing us and they've made a wholesale judgment on us already, which is even scarier. What do you guys think?
Well, I would think it would be the latter. I think they know pretty much everything they need to know about us.
What does ET think about us if there's an ET visiting us? Then again, maybe we have already contacted ET and we didn't know they were ET because they made themselves look like humans if they're not humanoid. Think about that. I'll have to talk to my co-host here. No. We have Jan, Mark, and Gene. I put myself last that time. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says he won't impose tariffs on goods imported from Mexico on Monday because Mexico has, quote, agreed to take strong measures to stop the flow of Central American migrants into the United States. Mexico insisted that the U.S. contributes to the root cause, poverty and violence, which is why people are trying to get to the United States. The internal watchdog for the Homeland Security Department visited four facilities. They say inspectors found serious risks, In California, nooses were found in detainees' cells and also inadequate medical care. In New Jersey, there was spoiled food and moldy bread. Both of those locations had unusable toilets and mold in the bathrooms. The report says ICE has taken steps to correct the problems. This is USA Radio News.
I weighed 329 pounds. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. I got Andro 400. It makes me not so hungry. I started noticing more energy. I noticed my belly was starting to shrink up. I started seeing weight come off, 80-some pounds. I went from 330 to 245. For a 56-year-old guy to lose that much weight, it took something, brother. I feel great. I feel like I was when I was 35 years old.
That was Ruben. Now listen to what Josh says about Andro 400.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that stuff really works. It was insane. I've heard the commercials walk for a decade. I was like, I'm just going to try it. My pants are like falling off. It really works. I bought suits last year for my new job, and they're falling off of me. It's insane.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, E.T.'s attitude towards us, Jan Harzen, go on, please.
Yeah, I wish I knew. Well, I think, you know, if they're here to harm us, I think we'd be gone a long time ago, so I don't think they're here to destroy us anyway. But, you know, you could have a theory that says it's more the Trojan horse, you know, we're going to slowly migrate you over time to our liking, which may not be a bad thing. I mean, considering how our general pastime here on this planet is killing each other. We need to move away from that. We need to move into more of helping each other and taking care of each other rather than killing each other. So I don't know. I think they perceive us as probably, you know, an up and coming civilization, and where they can help us, they will, and where they can't help us, they won't. I think most of all, we have to do it on our own. We're not going to be shepherded by these beings into a certain era. I mean, we're going to have to come up with it ourselves, I think. That's my gut feel. I don't really know. I don't think anyone really knows. I know there's books written about this, and there's people claiming to have talked to these beings and have the plan. But from what the data we're collecting right now, it's advanced intelligences that are non-human interacting with us, and that's pretty much where it's at.
Gene, how is this different from the slow disclosure events previously? I mean, both of you probably have more experience than I do, but look, this isn't the first time that we thought disclosure was going to get rolled out rapidly in front of us. So what makes this so different from the previous sort of expectation management, I guess, of these past disclosure or quasi-disclosure events from your perspective, Gene? What is different fundamentally here than what has happened previously?
I think right now the biggest thing that's different now is the fact that the mainstream media, the New York Times, the old gray lady, the Washington Post take it seriously. TV shows are taking it seriously. Even look, and I'm not necessarily in their camp, look at one of these conservative firebrands like Tucker Carlson. You know, he's kind of like Bill O'Reilly. He's, you know, brings on people he disagrees with and yells at them. He brings on somebody about UFOs, Leslie Kane, Nick Pope, Lou Elizondo. He's straight and serious. And that's tell you something, because it means I think he's seriously interested. So what we see that's different now is portions of the media that may in the past have laughed about or ignored it are taking it seriously. When Hillary Clinton, running for president, said she was interested in UFOs and wanted to look into it, she was on TV shows admitting it. We didn't hear the other side saying, oh, she's a space nick, she is a propeller head, she has a tinfoil hat. They let that go. That's different.
Yeah, I've experienced the same thing, Gene. I just got a call from a reporter from the New Yorker magazine. It's a liberal magazine, but it's one of the bigger ones. Politico, all these publications, and I think even news stations are taking this seriously. You don't see the giggle factor. You don't see the need to have the debunker after they have a Lou Elizondo talk. They don't bring on, the follow on to Philip Klass to explain why what the man just said isn't real. So I think we've moved the ball considerably, whoever did, but we've moved it considerably from where it was just 5 years ago. That's what excites me about it, is that we do have our major media now talking intelligently about the subject, questioning, bringing people on from our government to talk about it. We've got people writing intelligently about it. And there's a small wave of disinformation starting to seep in, but I think that's going to play itself out over time. Or maybe it never will. I mean, I think disinformation has been with us since day one, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm excited about what's happening.
Jen, is there any movement on the international scale with this, rollout of the ATIP program? Have anybody contacted you via MUFON from other countries, press, et cetera? You said earlier it was mostly a United States phenomena. Has the needle moved at all, from your perspective, with our larger Earth community?
I think so, but what surprised me is I got the opportunity to speak about 12 months ago down in Brazil. A.J. Guevara had me down for one of his conferences, and the people down there really aren't getting the kind of news coverage, or at least they weren't then, of this. And so everything I told them about the TTSA and the ATIP program and the kind of press coverage it's getting in the United States, they were surprised to see how widespread it was back in that day. If you remember a year ago or a year and a half ago when it was all over the news and just going crazy. But I think they're all moving along. I mean, I know one of the things A.J. Guevara is going to talk about when he speaks at our conference here in Irvine in July 27th, 8th, is going to be about the Brazilian government and how they have really stepped up releasing documents and backing the fact that these UFOs are here and they're not ours. So I think it's happening. I'll also be in Barcelona, Spain, speaking at the Ufology World Congress in September. I think it's 6th, 7th, and 8th. And we're going to be probably talking about this subject there as well. So I think it's out there. The French have been way ahead of a lot of people on this thing. In fact, some people thought the French government might be the first ones to release it. And maybe in some sense, that's what's forcing the hand of the folks now, is they realize if they don't hurry up and do something, some other government's going to beat them to the punch. And just like the Russians beat us to space with Sputnik, we don't want to be beat to the UFO punch. Or UAP punch, which as they prefer to call it, by another country.
Why would that be now, though, Jan? Yeah, other countries could have beat us to the punch here in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and we're feeling pressure. What is that bubbling force behind all this that you think might be adding that pressure? I mean, look, if the amount of cases have stayed the same, et cetera, there has to be an invisible hand at work here. So for me, I still struggle to find out what the invisible hand is here. I mean, what is driving this?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I don't know that it's an invisible hand. I think you've got all these exoplanets, the now Earth-like exoplanets being found. We're in the hundreds, and for exoplanets, we're in the thousands. You've got that whole thing going on. People are going to be pretty clear that there's other planets that look very much like Earth out there. So why wouldn't they have life on it? You've got these private space companies about to put you and I in space. I mean, the people, the civilian public in space. Once we get up there and we're floating around and we're seeing stuff going zipping by, we might say, hey, what was that? what was that thing that went by? Or if we're on the moon and living in one of our inflatable hotels or whatever we've got up there to live in, and we start seeing structures that are questioning, like, where did that structure come from? I don't know. I think we're just at that point in our evolution where something's going to break somewhere and they aren't going to be able to hide it. So we might as well start feeding it out to the public. That's my sense, but it could be something as simple as, hey, a couple guys worked on a project called ATIP, and they decided that, you know, it was time for this information to come out. They were tired of trying to take it internally to the people, the people running the program and getting nowhere with them. So the only way to do it would be to go public with that information and basically force the hand of Congress and the people in government to actually do something about it. I mean, there is a big stigma about the subject, and a lot of people don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because it's got that UFO stigma to it, you know, the tinfoil hat, the crazy guy. A lot of it maybe was actually kept under wraps, not so much because we were trying to hide the technology, but because people didn't want to go to their boss and say, hey, you know what, we've got these things flying around and we don't know what they are, we don't know where they're from, we don't know how they work, but they're out chasing our jets, out flying our jets and running circles around them. Because what's the commanding officer going to say at that point? He's going to say, well, go figure out what the heck they are and go do something about it, right? Well, it may not be that easy to go do something about it. I don't know. There's a lot of different theories on why it is what it is. I'm just happy that it is.
Well, I think, Jan, I'm in your camp as well. Well, there's enough here, and there's enough ancillary, or I would say in parallel efforts, exoplanets, discovery of life on other planets. I mean, look, NASA at any day could roll out the fact that they found life on another planet. Okay, I could see a conflict existing between NASA and the military. So maybe NASA or the military wants to meet NASA to the punch to say, yeah, we already knew about this and we're prepared for it. In fact, that, you know, we've escalated this, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so my point was, it was interesting between who's going to roll this thing out first. And it looks like the government beat NASA. And that's something that's interesting.
Whatever's happening, it's a sure thing we live in fascinating times. And it's possible before I'm gone, we'll hear something that is a final answer. We've got more to come. One more segment with Jan Harzan and Gene and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
In our final segment, I want to kind of move away from that and maybe talk about a gentleman who's no longer with us, someone I knew for like 40 years or so, not as a close friend, but of these convention acquaintances, an email acquaintance, that was Stanton Friedman. So, Jan, when did you first meet Stan Friedman?
Oh, gosh, it was probably back in the mid-90s at a MUFON symposium. You know, he spoke at more MUFON symposiums than any other speaker. I used to laugh because Stan had pretty much a standard presentation he did, and it was all in the slide format. And it was about 20 years later, we were having him at another symposium, and he still had slides. Everyone else had moved over to PowerPoints. And I suggested to him, hey, Stan, it might be easier for you. Instead of carrying the slide set around, he put this onto PowerPoint. He says, well, I don't know how to do that. I said, well, just someone will do it for you. Just ask them to do it. They'll do it. It's pretty simple. No, he's just been such a great gentleman. And I can't think of anyone who's done more for this field, moving things along in his life. 52 years of traveling through airports and UFO conventions and sitting at tables and greeting people and signing autographs of his books and hearing stories from people. Just a real total gentleman and a researcher and a star in my mind. Actually, it was supposed to be his last speaking engagement at the MUFON symposium, and in some sense it will be because we're going to do a tribute to him on Saturday night. I've got his cousin or nephew coming in who did a film on Stan called Chasing Flying Saucers, the Stanton Friedman story. We're going to show that and give people an opportunity to have open mic and just to honor and do a tribute to Stanton Friedman. Just a tremendous gentleman.
Is that Paul Kimball?
It's Paul Kimball.
Right, that's his nephew, yes.
He's going to come down for Canada. He's going to give a little talk about Stan and the movies he's put together because he's done more than one movie on Stan. Then we'll show the one film, which is about 48 minutes, and then have an open mic for people to come up and talk about their experiences with Stan. I think it'll be a very touching time.
Now, of course, there are people who disagree with Stan, as I did on a number of issues like MJ-12 and such. But I think the thing that Stan brought to the field is the fact that he got a lot of people acquainted with the fact that something weird is going on. And maybe, like I said, we heard the same speech over and over again. Maybe there were a few things there where he went a little too far into accepting things. But in general, I can't imagine how many people over those decades learned there was something real about UFOs from this guy.
Yeah, he was one of the first ones to proclaim UFOs are real. That was his tagline. And what did we hear just recently from the Pentagon, from the ASIP program? UFOs are real. So, yeah, he had it right for all those years.
Yeah, and I got to tell you what, the fact that he passed so closely to this disclosure has an element to it that I can't even describe. Because here's a man who was waiting for validation his whole life. He passes, and then all this happens. Well, I, you know, as him as a pioneer of nuts and bolts, explanation or theory to all this, I'd say the guy is pretty darn validated today, or at least we stand within this conversation.
I would agree, Mark.
Well, however it turns out, whatever they
exactly
are, and he thought there were spaceships, and they go into, whatever is going to happen is going to happen with these different attitudes, different viewpoints about what is visiting us, what attitude they take towards us, how we'd react to them, all the things that he was thinking about. And all it goes back to the same thing here. He allowed us to take it seriously because he's a real scientist. He wasn't somebody who made up his degree, as a few people were out there. We have a few people who made up degrees, credentials. He came in here, the genuine nuclear physicist, and he said, here's something that we've got to look at, and where do we go from here? You can honor him by observing that he died with his boots on. He was coming back from a lecture at the airport, doing his
right
thing. To the very last day, he was doing his thing.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, Gene. It's just incredible the amount of time he spent out on the road, away from his family, because he was so passionate about this subject. Yeah, he's just a hero in my eyes, and we'll all miss him here at MUFON and the UFO public in general. So,
and I would only add, you guys, that as this thing plays itself out and as we speculate here today, it's looks like to me that Stanton is going to become a U.S. hero at some point if this thing plays itself out the way it does.
Very possibly. Very possibly. You know, of all the speakers I've ever had, because I've been involved in about 9 or 10 of these symposiums, actually from the putting the program together, but pretty much the only speaker I ever got phone calls from people who wanted to just hear him. That's all they want to do. I want to come hear Stan Friedman. Was amazing to me, just amazing to me. I must have heard him speak 25 or 30 times, so I got my share of Stan, but it was like the people just wanted to hear him. Whatever he did, he touched the hearts of many.
This day and age, of course, the old guard has gotten older and older. If we're looking to anybody in the field who could go on or take over, if there is anybody, are there any people in this field who might be the next Stanton Friedman? What do you think?
Well, I think we need to be grooming those people. We need to bring them along. We need to reach out and grab them. And I think there are some young, hard-charging and middle-aged people who could pick up the banner and could carry it on. The hard part is, it's not easy to make a living in the UFO field. I have people all the time call me up or write me and say, hey, I want a job. We don't really have jobs at MUFON because we're all volunteer organization. But, I say, well, you need to probably write a book or go on a speaking circuit or do something like that, because that's pretty much the only way you make money in this field. He's one of the few people I know who turned it into a living for his family. So my hat's off to him. It's not an easy life.
Especially if you write books.
Yes.
Because very few people who write books about anything make much money. I always mention this thing about my old friend Jim Moseley. After so many years, he comes out with this book with Carl Flock, shockingly close to the truth. Something he started in the 1950s, not published till like the early 2000s. He received an advance, both of them, with an agent of $4,000. The way it works in the book industry is you get an advance against royalties. If the book earns out any additional sale, you get your royalty. If it doesn't, the publisher, of course, takes a loss, but that means that's all you're going to get. I used to write production line books, computer instruction books, like dummies books and things like that over the years. Not the dummies, but, other types of books like that. And the publishers were smart. They knew how many books I would sell. And they gave me an advance that was very, very close. So, of course, in that case, I didn't earn out. Whatever I got, I knew that would be what I get. The $4,000 for basically a life story from a guy, it's not a lot. And you have to think here, how many UFO books make any more than a couple of $1,000s? For many years' work, it doesn't work that way. Jan Harzan, please give our listeners a quick, say, 30-second preview of the MUFON Symposium and where they get a hold of you.
Absolutely. Well, you can reach me here at MUFON headquarters at exe.dir, at MUFON.com, executive director at MUFON.com. The symposium this year is being held July 26th, 7th, and 8th at the Hotel Irvine in Irvine, California. We have a dozen terrific speakers, including Paul Hynek, John Schussler, James Penniston, who, of course, is one of the few people I know who's ever touched a UFO, A.J. Gavard, Dr. Michael Masters, who's got his anthropological and biological degrees and has an interesting theory on where these things might be coming from, Dr. Joseph Birx, Lynn Katai, Paul Davids, Adam Curry, and Klaus Fahn. Klaus Fahn, of course, is the chairman of the AFU in Sweden, which collects information on all sorts of strange things and wondrous things, and he'll be sharing some of his UFO stories with us as well. We've also got six exciting special events I'd encourage you to go, including the Apollo 11 exhibit at the Nixon Library, experiencer workshops, FI training, and a youth program we're putting on, as well as speaker panels. Go to MUFONsymposium.com. That's M-U-F-O-N symposium.com, and you've got all the information there in front of you. Thank you.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast fan clubs over on Facebook. Look for the Paracast Plus. It's where you can get this show free of the network ads. The people on YouTube who complain about them. Better quality audio. Plus the After the Paracast podcast, where you never, ever, ever know what's going to happen next. And sometimes we don't either. For more information on how to sign up, the price is starting at just $1.49 a week. Go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com, plus dot theparacast.com to get more info. Jan Harzan, once again, he's a mensch. With very, very short notice, he came on. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Mark.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.